Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
We are now going to look at bearing about the crucified life for effective preaching of Christ and Him crucified. You remember that the Lord Jesus said, if any of you wishes to be a follower of mine, or you want to come with me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, how? Daily, and follow me. Now, generally, when we have come to look at that instruction that Jesus gave and confronted every man that was to come with him with, we noted that when he said, let him take up his cross daily, in the context of that period, whenever you see anybody in the land of Israel that he has carried a cross, two things must have happened. The first thing that must have happened is that the entire community have decided and considered him as good for what? For death. And when they have determined that this man is no more fit to live, he must die. And they decided that he must die the death by the cross. The first thing is that he must not die in their city. He must carry the cross until he gets outside the city. So whenever anybody carry the cross, and as he's going, everybody that sees him, what is their conclusion? That this man actually is dead. If anybody had any business that he was doing with him, what does that man conclude about their business? That the business is dead. If the man made a promise that I'm going to do something for you next week, and you suddenly met him on the road carrying the cross, what has happened to the promise he has made you? You know that that promise is dead. Because this man, even though you see him walking up and down, once the cross is on his neck, is already a dead man. Are you understanding? So when Jesus Christ had to bear the cross and he was going, did you notice that even though he had not yet died, what were the women already doing? They were already crying. They were already bewailing him as a dead man. Because to them, you don't carry the cross and leave. It was a clear understanding among all the children of Israel in those days. Once we see the cross on a man, it is not for decoration. The cross on any man announces his death. Even if, as he's carrying the cross, he had to carry it for 3 days, or he had to carry it for 4 days, or carry it for 5 days before he gets to the place where he will be finally crucified, for all those days that they have started carrying the cross, what have the people concluded? He's dead. So when Jesus Christ let him take up his cross daily, what it means is that let him live a life that is already what? Dead. Dead to the world. Dead to human opinion. And this, how must he do it? He must do it daily. So this morning, and this is what Jesus Christ was saying to those that would become his preachers. This is what he was demanding for those that he was going to make his apostles. That all these apostles, they will be men who are already dead, going about with a cross on their lives, everywhere bearing the cross. But you see, when we use that, we now need to go to the epistles and have a clear picture of what that meant in terms of practicality of the crucified life, a life that is already brought to the cross, preaching Christ and Him crucified. That's what remains for us to lay hold upon this morning, as the Lord will be helping us. And for our meditation, so that we can take our bearing from Scripture, I would like us to take 3 passages again. We have read Galatians 2:20, which we are going to refer to over and over as we go ahead. I want us to look at Galatians 6, and then we'll return to 2 Corinthians. Now, in Galatians 6, I'd like us to please read from verse 11 and up to verse 17. But there's nothing wrong if we read up to verse 18, so that you can add amen to our reading. Would that be all right? Eh? Yes. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but what? A new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians so that we can put all these passages in their perspective as we study together the word this morning. 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, from verse 1, I would like to read it as quickly as I can to verse 12. Therefore, saying we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Now look at verse 10. Always, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, so that the life also of Jesus Christ might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death works in us, but life in you. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes when we come to look into the Word of God in a very critical detail, you see some certain mysteries that either because of lack of insight, we may quickly brush and try to say other things that we can quickly identify with. But as I continuously look at the life and ministry of these men that turned their world upside down. And as I look at the strength of the utterance that God gave them, and as I look at the effectiveness of how they express Christ's life, to the point that they laid a very strong foundation for the church, for the body of Christ, that has remained unshakable until today. I am challenged to search, not for head knowledge, but for a personal experience. The question I kept asking, Lord, what did you do to these brothers? What did they discover that made their lives and their ministry so effective? What is it that happened to their lives that even when they just wrote one letter, their letter was so blessed that for years and years and years, from generation to generation, hundreds of years, thousands of years, their letter is still speaking? Especially when I've heard them say that it is not because of their qualification. Like I hear Brother Paul saying, we cannot claim any sufficiency as coming from us. Our sufficiency is from God, who has made us able ministers of the New Testament. What is it that God did to them that caused their ministry to be that effective? That they preach, and you know, can I tell you something more that challenged me? They did not have the Bible complete like this. The only scripture that was available to them as at that time was the Old Testament that they could read. How did they read the Old Testament and they preach Christ so accurately? That they will pick the book of Psalms and all they saw is Christ and Him crucified. That they will pick the book of Deuteronomy or the book of Numbers, and all they will see is Christ and Him crucified. And how did they pick all those books of the prophets, and with it they were able to give a very clear exposition of Christ and Christ crucified, and they were not beating about the bush? I realized that it was not first about head knowledge. It was about the life that they have acquired in God. I noted that when Paul began to speak, and this is in keeping with what God did, why the Levitical priesthood was not effective, why it was not productive in changing men, in dealing with people from their sin, why every month, every week, the same thing was done and people never found deliverance? As he was looking at it, he said that priesthood had to be discarded. Even though it was inaugurated with much fanfare, for only one reason. He said, for the weakness of it. For the unprofitableness of it. It was because even the priest himself, he could not enter into the holiest of all because of a deficiency of his own life. Say, but when Jesus came, coming with the power of an endless life, so I saw that, look, what makes ministry effective, and which we have to settle down quickly with, what makes ministry effective is not external to the preacher. Brothers, please follow me very quickly, because this is the crux of where we cannot brush issues aside. That the effectiveness of any man's ministry is not external to the life of the minister. The power of a man's ministry is not first external to him. It is first and foremost inherent in his life. This is the reason why, no matter how much training of our intellect, ability to have very, very perfect academic knowledge, and organizational skills, which in no case do I treat lightly. But may I say that all of that put together does not bring about an effective, life-changing ministry. It will take the life to touch life. It takes a heart to connect with hearts. It takes a broken man to break men. Hey, am I communicating with you? And that if we want to serve God effectively, if by the grace of God, as we leave this cleric this year, you are going to enter into a covenant with God and say, God, I will give you no rest until I see your glory breaking forth in the work to which you have called me. If you do that, the other way to put it will have been, oh God, I will not let you go until you break my life, so that there can be a breakthrough in your church. I will not let you go until you do something to my life, so that all the obstacles against your work in my hands may dissolve. I don't know whether God will give you grace to pray such a prayer. I don't know whether God will give you courage to pray such a prayer. I know that very casually, whenever we talk about Jacob, you remember Jacob? Who in that night of wrestling with the angel, said, I will not let you go unless you do what? You bless me. I know you quote it. And I know that we love to make it a thematic focus of a message. I will not let you go unless you bless me. But what you never remember to note was that the answer to that prayer, which God actually answered that day. What was the answer to that prayer? It was the breaking. It was the breaking of Jacob. It was a symbol of the crucified life. If you read your Bible, you will notice that when the man said, I will not let you go unless you bless me, immediately they remove his tie out of joint. You might think it was a dream, but when he woke up, it was actually a permanent reality. Was it a permanent reality? That from that morning, his tie actually was out of joint. He can no longer run. He can only lean. He can only lean on the everlasting arm. From that day forward, Jacob became a broken man. From that day forward, his two legs were no more straight. This is how he moved now. And so God said, yes, you are now a prince. Who is a prince of preachers? Is the man who has been crucified, who is broken. God uses broken things to bless men. And when Jacob came out of that experience, the Bible says something that was very, very exciting to me. What did the Bible say? And the Bible said, and the sun rose upon him. And he called the place Peniel. Because the sun rose upon him. I said, the sun of righteousness will rise upon any man who has become what? Broken. If you see me emphasizing the crucified life, brothers, I want to say to you that it is only the crucified life that the sun of God's glory can beam upon. It's only that man that is broken, that man that has come to the cross, and the cross has crushed his human nature and his human strength and his human intellectual capacity, and anything that he could boast about have been brought to the place of death. It is upon that man that the sun will rise. Do you know that when Jacob came to that point and he became crippled, so to say, that was when Esau, who had been his arch enemy for years, he didn't do anything again. Having been broken by God, God was ready to break his enemies. And for you to know, Esau was coming with 400 armed men. Jacob, when he had not yet come to this Peniel experience, he was sending cattle upon cattle to go and bribe him, to bribe his way through. When I look at the amount of cattle, of animals, of provisions that Jacob was sending to appease Esau, I say, wow, those things were big enough to make Esau a dairy farmer. And unfortunately, it will still not have secured breakthrough for the man of God. But broken at Peniel, broken, you know, the Bible reported that when Jacob came to Jabbok, Jabbok was that stream that he crossed where God now emptied him of himself. And the Bible scholars call Jabbok the place of empty. May the Lord empty you before you leave here. May you experience divine empty, so that you can experience a divine infilling of Christ's life. May God empty me, that He might fill me. But the prayer is beyond that, which we are going to now begin to deliberately analyze, so that when we get to be alone with God, the prayer this afternoon or this morning will be so definite, because if you pray it, God will answer it. If you don't want, don't pray it. But I'm looking forward to people like myself, who will never be satisfied with anything less than the fullness of God. And whatever it will take for God to fill me with His fullness, what do I want to live for again? I've left all to follow Jesus. How can I still be here and I'm not getting His best? That's why this morning, the matter of that crucified life that can bear the shining light to cause men to see the crucified Savior will become the most crucial prayer that we're going to pray. Just to help you finish with how Jacob Let me ask you, those of you that have studied the Bible, how long did they lean on that stick from that Peniel? How long? Till he died, for the rest of his life. Brother, the crucified life may have a beginning, but it is an endless, continuous life until we get to heaven. Those who will matter in the purpose of God, it is this crucified life that God has been waiting for. And it is this kind of life that God is longing to carry and to project for His ministry on earth. Brothers, sisters, may God bring you into this experience and keep you at it for the rest of your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you now know that from that Peniel, everything else that Jacob was going to do from that chapter, to the extent that his children, the Bible says, until today, They never ate the marrow of the socket of the sinew because their father's hip was taken out of socket. It was as if what happened to him became a standard rule for the rest of his family. How I pray that your coming to cleric this year will leave an indelible mark in your life. That from now till you retire, till you get to heaven, you will never recover from this life again. In the name of Jesus. Because it is this life, the kind that Brother Paul acquired, that he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And do you know that till he died, that was the life. Eh? When he was finishing, the Galatians said, nobody should trouble me again. There is nothing with which I'm going to glory now except the cross by which I am crucified to the world. Hey, can you see a brother who for the rest of his years the world has no hold over him anymore? The world system can no longer have any hold on him. He was crucified. And he said, actually, and the word also has been crucified to me. And none of you should worry me because you can see Gadagra on my face. The mark of Jesus. That's what he did until he finished his ministry gloriously. So this morning, permit me to look very intently with you. How must it happen in our own lives? So that your pulpit, the man that will be going on pulpit from this meeting, will no longer be the man that you brought here. What has happened to that man you brought here? Crucified. Crucified. Maybe there are issues you were struggling with before you came here. And you are saying, let me just go to Boko. When I come back, I will deal with that. Sorry. Sorry. Boko has become Jabok. Where your strength has been emptied. Where the old man had been brought down and has been confronted with the cross. And people say, you know, I imagine how that following morning, when Jacob was doing like this, was that how he was yesterday? What do you think was the first question that his children asked him? Baba, what happened? What happened to you, sir? Ah. Did you have an accident in the night? You were the one that sent us all to sleep yesterday and you were hale and hearty. And we know you to be a strong man that can run with your two legs. Baba, what happened over the night? Hey! Can you imagine how he opened his mouth and he said, my children, the greatest battle of my life ended yesterday night. What made me Jacob that I have been all my years a supplanter that I have been? My children, it ended yesterday. In fact, the battle continued until early this morning. When the man who came to wrestle with me saw that the day now breaketh, he said, let me leave you, I'm going. Ah! I said, you cannot leave me until you bless me. This is the blessing. My children, I will never be able to walk straight again. The Jacob, your father, was conquered, scattered, and finished yesterday. He has given me a new name which you will soon know eventually. I'm no more Jacob. I am Israel. But you will not know how to call me like that. You will see it. His wife came. Darling Jacob, what happened to you yesterday, sir? For the first time, Jacob began. He said, I never told you people that my senior brother, Esau, is the man that I've been struggling with. I cheated him. I collected his birthright. As you see me here, I Jacobed him. You see my father Isaac, which some of you have not yet met, I'm praying that we will meet him before he died. I Jacobed him. The day my father was to bless me, I deceived him. I have been a Jacob for long. In fact, my credential, the one that I gained admission with, I Jacobed it. You see, when God brings a man to the place of crucifixion, all the issues you've been hiding, you can't hide it again. Did you gain admission into the college of theology with a fake result? And you are being a minister on fake results. When he came to Jabbok, and they said, what is your name? Tell us who you are. Jacob said, I'm Jacob. I am Jacob. Even my credential with my father was forged. Up to tomorrow, my father thought I was Esau. I wore a skin. Because I know my father is very meticulous. He was going to check. My brother is hairy. Me, I'm smooth skin. I wore a skin. From here to here. From here to here. So that my father, if he say, make I check, he will see as if I am Esau. I took my brother's garment so that I can smell like him. So the blessing my father placed on me was based on what? On Jacobian values. I was Jacob. Leah, I am sorry. I subjected you to serious torture. You know why? Even though I knew that it was Richie I want to marry, when I saw your father insisting that they have to follow protocol, that the first has to marry first, And you know me, I'm always wanting the second to come first. That's my Jacob life. I decided that yes, they don't know Jacob. So that night, I decided that even though you are the one that should be the first, I preferred second. Since then, I have troubled you. Have I ever named any of your children? Because I made you a permanent reject in my heart. But God, who is greater than me, decided that it was you that would be blessed, not Rachel. God decided, if it were me, I didn't want to give you a baby until Rachel, the second, will become first. Unfortunately, look at me now. The first 10 children did not come from her. I'm sorry. It was Jacob that did that. But today, I went. I thought I was sleeping normally. When the Almighty God came with that dagger to deal with me. Leah, I'm sorry. Rachel, though I love you with Jacobian love, I am afraid. I'm not cursing you, but you are second. And from today, you will be secondary. We have to set things in order. Jacob died. I don't know whether you even have a portion in the land of promise. But I'm praying that God may include you. I don't know. Rachel, all the idols you stole from your father, now that it is no more Jacob, we can't go with it. You have to submit this thing now so that we can bury it here. That day, whether Leah was weeping or Rachel was crying, and all the house girls that Brother Jacob went and was sleeping with, all of them said, "Hey, hey." So he announced to them, he said, "All of you, come behind me. Let me go and face my Esau. If it please God to have mercy on me, it's okay. But today, I have to face my reality." Do you remember that said, he bowed himself. How many times? Eh? 7 solid times before he will get to Esau. He began to say, "Esau, may my life be precious in your sight. May you please have mercy on me." Eh? Jacob the supplanter, he has now been broken. But only a broken man will enter the promises. Only the crucified life can bear the life that will touch other lives. From that day, sir, I saw a crucified life. Do you know that from that time, when his children misbehaved, they learned bad behavior from him? Are you hearing me? Simeon and Levi, they were wicked because they learned it from their father. Reuben became wayward. He slept with his father's wife because of the kind of lifestyle he saw. But their father has now changed. Today he was going to die.
the Bible said he was leaning on the staff and pronouncing the blessing. Do you know that what he said was a panel prophecy over the people? Am I correct? That's a man that God has conquered. Sir, if God is able to prevail over you in this cleric, whatever number of years remain for you in the ministry, it will be astounding. It will bring indelible revival. Mark it. You will go back and people will say, sir, your message has changed. Your life has changed. Your authority has become stronger. And yet we saw you weaker. What kind of paradox is this? The crucified life is usually a paradox. Because out of your weakness, my power is what? Is made perfect. Just before they will now get back to Bethel, because it was at Bethel God had wanted to do a work, but Jacobian life will not allow it. Because they now go back to that Bethel. But before you get to Bethel, every wrong thing in your household must go. Can I tell you, they did many things. They removed all their earrings. They removed all the idols. Are you hearing me? They buried all of that under an oak. But it remained one to be buried. Which one? Rachel. Rachel, the chief idol of Jacob's life. That night when Rachel was in labor to bring out this baby, and she was about to give up the ghosts, she cried out. She said, the child of my sorrow, Benoni. And she was buried. But Jacob said, it's not Benoni. This boy is not the boy of sorrow. It's a symbol of a blessing. How do you say blessing when the mother died? How do you say blessing when the father is crippled? How do you call that blessing when what kept him in the strange land for 21 years could not be shown to his father? The father said, I was surprised that you stayed long. It took me only 3 days for them to find a wife for me. When you were staying for 20 years, we were wondering what kind of marriage. Where is the woman that took you 14 years to marry? Where is she? And the reason why he had to stay for another 7 years after that was that Rachel said, how can I go when I have no child yet? Did you hear me? Isaac said, so my son, where is the wife that kept you for 20 years roaming about? He said, I'm sorry to inform you, sir, I buried her at Ephrata. J-
just before we will enter here, she died. She is not supposed to enter the promises. That's the final mistake of my life that God corrected, sir. I hope you know that it was only Leah that was buried in the family sepulchre. Am I right? Brothers, I want to pray this morning. That something will end from this meeting. Something that has kept you struggling in ministry for 20 years. The call of God is on my life, is on your life. But it never became reality because of that life that is not broken. But I want to tell you, some of you are nearing retirement. And you have struggled all years. And you are saying, why is it that I'm hearing this now? Never worry. Even 2 years to retirement, God can unright all the wrong things. Hallelujah. God can do something that will put a cap on all your years of labor. And they say, Kai, he ended well. You will end well.
Amen.
You will finish strong.
Amen.
I thank God that Jacob finished strong. I thank God that God today will say, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So, Brother Paul now raise a very critical issue of how this crucified life must be carried in order to preach him crucified. Praise the Lord. Now, and that's what you find very carefully packaged in that 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Will you please look at 2 Corinthians 4? I will not want to start from verse 1, verse 2, and all of that. I wish God has dealt with that. That now there's no need for hypocrisy, there's no need for deceit, there's no need for dishonesty. We need something now. You don't go back on your pooping and just be talking dishonesty. That doesn't pay me and you. We have come to a place where God is saying, you have received mercy and I'm giving you a ministry. All hidden things, let it be buried. He now began to say, if our gospel is hid, it is only hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Let me ask you, why did he have that confidence? Did you see that he was making a confident declaration? What is it? He said, if our gospel is hid, if there's anybody in this congregation that will say he did not see the light of what we have been preaching, it is only because maybe he is lost, and that the God of this world has decided to blind him not to see. Ah, authority of light. And I say, if I preach and you say you are not seeing, it means the devil. Close your eyes. Otherwise, for we preach not ourselves. Did you see him say? For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, I want you to see, because I'm building this gradually. He said, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has done what? Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I want you to catch something, because the passage looks complicated, but it's a very critical passage. He said, God, who in the beginning said, let there be light. You remember when God said that? And the light came, and darkness could not comprehend it. He said, that same God, what has he decided to do now? He has decided to shine. He has shined in our heart. Can you see a man who is saying, actually, as you see us, it is God who is shining his light where? In our hearts. To give, look at the Bible, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, we read the scripture before when we say, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has done what? Has risen upon you. If you take that Isaiah 60 and you read verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, you'll be surprised that actually it's because the glory of the Lord, God Himself, has come to shine in us. When a man is broken and the life of the flesh has been evacuated, as the cross walks, the light rose upon him. The light of God's glory shines upon him. The light, the sun of righteousness, rises upon him. I am trusting God. Maybe what I'm saying may look quite abstract, but I'm so sure of it, that the light will rise upon you. Amen. That the sun of righteousness will rise on you. God will put a spotlight upon you. Oh my God. Just mark it up. In your diocese, in your regional church council meeting, in that area where God has placed you, you might appear like a very junior pastor. But because of this experience, the sun will rise upon you. The light of God's glory will beam on your head. You see, when Jesus Christ came to that baptism, which even John the Baptist said, no, it's not for people like you. Jesus said, no, it must happen. As he was being baptized, and as he rose out of baptism, the Bible said, heavens were open to him. For Jacob, he said, the sun rose upon him. Malachi said, and the sun of righteousness will rise for them. when heaven begins to shine its light upon you. Imagine that everybody is moving about in the dark, and suddenly your own light began to glister. And there's light shining. Where will everybody be going? They'll be going to where there's light. It's not poster that will draw men to you. It is that light. Shining. Shining. You will come to the pulpit. It's not that you are saying anything that is extraneous. But certainly, a light beaming will begin to shine, and hearts of men will be melting. And you yourself say, what did I say? What is making these people come under conviction? Why are they melting? It's because you have melted before. You have been broken before. Why would Esau, who came with 400 soldier men to fight, why did he suddenly become a friend? All that Jacob brought to give him, he told him, say, my brother, keep it to yourself. And I would like to become your escort. All these soldier men, let them now begin to escort you. Jacob said, Baba, thank you, but you know, these children are small, and the cattle are not as strong. Just go ahead, I'll be coming small, so that we can move in the pace that these children can move. Otherwise, Esau was going to become the Magad. When the way of a man pleases the Lord. May God break you from here. Because it is your own brokenness that will break all your barriers. When God wants to break your barrier, it is not diggers that He will be using to dig all those things. It is you that He will break. When He breaks you, you can be sure. All obstacles are broken. All those who are standing and saying, we will see how we will make it, they are broken. Honestly speaking, some of you will send me testimonies home. Because by the time you are getting back, the man in your PCC that is standing and saying, we will see what he will do. By the time you get back, are you hearing me? Because something happened to you here, you will see the man say, oh, sir, I just came to welcome you. How was your journey to Boko? Concerning the issue, I don't know, God has touched me that I should come and apologize. You will send me testimonies, though. Because the sun will rise upon you. You know why I needed to note this? You can't preach Christ and preach Him effectively if light is not shining to reflect His face to the people. You see, preaching Christ to bring effective conviction and conversion is not about shouting. It's not about loudspeaker. It's not about dressing. There must be a light shining to give the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. That you are reading scripture before you even start your preaching. A light is hitting the face, the heart of people, and they started seeing Jesus. You know, I'm desiring God to do something much more in my life. I have found out that this crucified life is the life I'm going to live till I die. It's this life that I will carry to heaven by the grace of God. And I've come now to discover that that is the kind of life that can bring effective ministry to the body of Christ. I have seen a little glimpse of it. I have seen what if God deals with a man, what God can do with him. I have seen a glimpse of it. But you know, as I'm praying, God said, what you have seen is only a glimpse. There's much more if you will press on with this life. I've seen a glimpse of it. I can testify to you that this life works. But today, there's no time to be giving such testimonies. It's only sufficient for me to say that this life works. And I recommend it to you. Don't read it and say, well, that's what they say in Boko. Let's face another reality. Honestly speaking, when I hear you say that, I know that you are not serious. I know you don't want to go far. I know you are like those kind of guys that say, let's go here, let's go here, let's go here. Digging broken cisterns. Leaving the well of living water. So Paul said, but we have this treasure. Where? In an earthen vessel. So that the excellency of the power might not be, may be of God and not of us. Why does God need a crucified life? So that the excellency of the power that will be breaking forth, are you hearing me? Might not be credited to any of us, but to God. Because flesh must not share the glory. You know the 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that we read the first night, I ended and said, for flesh must not glory in his presence. The crucified life is that life where God can freely manifest himself and no one will share the glory. The emptied life, void of the flesh, crucified and bearing about the death of Jesus, is the life in which God will freely walk and no one will mistake anything as to share the glory with God. Me, I just know that when we're about to finish this morning, I will kneel down and pray for you. That this will become your experience. I'm believing God that your coming to Cleric this year will mark the end of a struggle and the release of that life of God that can bring results and effective ministry as you go from here in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, permit me to now show you the scripture and then we'll finish. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. These are all the paradoxes of the crucified life. These are the kind of things that those who don't understand, that God uses all of this only to create, how do I call it? Crevices. You know, when you want to perforate so that the aroma should come out. What do? You break here until you finally. All of that, these are great men of God that God was keeping to carry his own treasure in an earthen vessel. So they were subject to persecutions. They were misunderstood. They were perplexed. Whatever anybody said about them. Now, let's read the conclusion of that in verse 10, verse 11, verse 12. What do you see there? Please, I want someone to read verse 10, now NIV, New King James. Let's try. ESV. Yes.
NIV. We always carry around in our body the...
We're not hearing you again.
We always carry around in our body the... The death of Jesus.
What happened? Sister, what happened? You were afraid to read it. Now read it now. Read it well. We always carry around
in our body.
Yes.
The death of Jesus. So that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body.
Wait. We always carry around.
In our body.
In your body. You carry around once a week. What did he say? Always. In our body. In order that the life of Jesus also might be what? Might be revealed. Auntie, please repeat it again. NIV is what you have read.
So that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body.
Now, look at the word so that. So you see when he said, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. What is that cross? What is the cross? The death. We carry around always in our mortal body. The death of Jesus. So that the life of Jesus also may be revealed in our mortal body. Thank you. Where is ESV? ESV. Yes, sir. Please repeat it for us.
Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus.
The death of Jesus.
So that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies.
Now, you see, these are scriptures that you say, what does that mean? That's what it means. That it is as we bear about, as we carry around the death that happened on the cross. As we bear that about in our own body, that's how the life of Jesus, the resurrected life of Christ, will be made manifest. Also where? In heaven. I'm not hearing you. Where? Here. That's the matter. Where is good news? Did good news put verse 10 differently? At all times.
In our mortal bodies.
Start again.
At all times, we carry in our mortal bodies the death of Jesus.
Yes.
So that his life also may be seen in our bodies.
So that his life also may be seen in our bodies. The crucified life. Bearing about the death of Jesus in our body. So that the life of Jesus may be seen
in our body.
Also in our body. Thank you, brother. Is there any other version? Amplified? Always carrying about in the body
the liability and the exposure to same putting to death that the Lord Jesus suffered, so that the resurrection life of Jesus also may be shown forth by and in our bodies.
Did you hear that? The liability and the exposure to the same putting to death that the Lord Jesus suffered, so that the resurrection life of Jesus also may be shown forth by and in our bodies. I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit, who gives increase to his word, will give increase to this instruction. I pray that as you are going from here, you will just keep knowing that the man I carry come to Boko, what has happened to that man? He's dead. He's crucified. I have been crucified with Christ. Paul went about with that understanding. Then nevertheless, I live. And every opportunity, now that's the next thing I want to read in verse 11 before we read verse 1. In verse 11, look at how he said, For we who live are always, did you see the Bible? Delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. So that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. How did NIV put that verse 11, Auntie? NIV verse 11.
For we who are alive,
those of us who are alive,
are always being given over to death.
We are always being given over to death
for Jesus' sake.
For Jesus' sake.
So that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body.
Oh my God. Did you understand, Baba? That for the life of Jesus, the resurrected life of Jesus, to be made manifest in our mortal body as we are going about, God himself is handing us over. We are being given over to every instrument that bring about the death. Because what God is looking for, may I tell you now, who is the minister that God is looking for? He's a minister of life. Am I right? How can life be released in me to touch men? This is the way. How can life, particularly Christ's life, how can I be a minister that every time I open my mouth I'm pushing out Christ's life? The only way is that this death must be working. This daily cross is at work, at work, at work, at work. No space for the human nature to interfere. Somebody will say, Pastor, are you not using your common sense again? Can't you defend yourself? Did they make you a dundu when you went to Boko? He said, no. It's just that death has occurred. The man that used to argue is no more here. The only life that I'm waiting to speak now is whose life? Christ's life. Christ's life. Some people may think it is weakness. Others may imagine that you have now become more stupid. But no. You have only begun to experience death. So that his resurrection life can be made how? Manifest. Those of us who are alive are always handed over to death, given over to death. So that the life of Jesus may be also manifested in our mortal flesh. That's NIV, isn't it? How will you help us read that again? From ESV? Yes. Yes.
For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake.
Yes, sir.
So that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh.
Amen. Where is the contemporary English?
We face death every day.
We face death every day.
Because of Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Our bodies show what his death was like.
Uh-huh.
So that his life can also be seen in us.
Will you pray that this that Brother Paul is describing will become your experience? Eh? So that the death of Jesus be made, you know, conformable in our own life might also make it possible for his resurrection life to be made manifest in us, in our mortal body. So that when we stand up to minister, we become the minister of life unto life. We become men that are speaking, but each time we speak, what comes out is Christ's life. Permit me to conclude this discussion in verse 12. So then, did you see verse 12? So then, what? Death works in us. And what? Life. Life. So if I'm going to be a man who ministers life to people, what must be working in me? Death must be working. Every time you put aside the death which the cross symbolizes, what have you done to? You have short circuit life. You shut off the life. So, what kind of minister is God now looking for? A man who bears death. Who say, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, as you see me now, I live, but it's not me. But Christ who lives in me. And this life I now carry, I live it by the faith, by complete reliance, and total adherence unto Jesus, who died and rose again for me. This morning, these brothers. So when Baba Okafor was leading us to look at the dedication of Paul and his aspiration. And that man said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may share in the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable to his death. I said, hey, these men, they saw a mystery which majority of our own time, nobody will preach this to us. Am I right? Everywhere you went, they told you about promotion. They told you about 7 steps to breakthrough. We clapped for motivational speakers who only aroused our natural emotion and spoke only to pump our ego and left us deflated. We are going to cry to God with that song again. Jesus, keep me near the cross. That's where the fountain of life flows. That's where the power of his resurrection that subdues sinners and causes men to repentance, that's where it comes from. And if I want to tell you, if anybody was to prosper in God's work, genuine prosperity, that is where it comes from. And if anyone is to walk in boldness and no man is able to withstand him, that's the man who has already died to death. You don't threaten him with death again. He died to sin. He died to fame. He died even to success. He only lives to please God. Those are the people. So Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you. I determined to talk about nothing. Because there's nothing to talk about apart from what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. That's where the reality began. And for me, that's where to take my bearing from. We will take that song, and I will beg you as we go to be alone with God. You're being alone with God this morning. I want to don't play with it. Just say, God, this meeting is gradually bringing us to a conclusion. The rest of the day will only be now dealing with what we shall rise up to go and do. And by the grace of God, I wish you will let this alone with God be your covenant time to say, God, what you did to Jacob that changed him permanently. Permanently. He became the Israel of God. And he was able to accomplish what he was born to accomplish, even though he wasted many years. Somebody will be saying, oh God, even though many years are behind me, from this meeting, what you did to Jacob, what you did to Paul, what you did to this man when you evacuated them of their self, and they began to go with the mark of Christ, do it to me. And let me see what you will do with the rest of my life. Let me see what kind of ministry will break forth from my life from now. Lord, go ahead and do it. And because it has to be a personal decision, I will just lead you for us to sing that song. And then I will leave you to go and be alone with God and say, God, this afternoon, that thing which I brought here, buried here. That struggle that I struggled for years, finished here, Lord. Whether you are rising to go back, either to Gombe in the northeast, or you are going back to Ogun State, the crucified life, bearing the crucified Savior, and preaching Him crucified to men. Lord, let it be so. Rise with me. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There, precious bounty, free to all, I in its stream flows. Oh, in the cross, Lord Jesus, in the cross, in the cross, be my glory, be my glory, ever, see, my righteous soul shall find rest, rest beyond the river. Near the cross, I tremble so, love, have mercy for me. There, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. His beams around in the cross, in the cross, in the cross, in the cross. We take stanza 3 only once, and that will be the end for us to sing as we now pray together.
Near the cross, Lamb of God, bring His sins before me. We walk from day to day with a shadow in the shadow.
Have your way with us this morning, Lord. Have your way, O God. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Where are those people that are saying, O God, I will not let you go unless you bless me? Those who are desperate and say, the Son of Righteousness must rise upon me. The spotlight of heaven must come upon my life. I can't go on struggling anymore. I can't struggle anymore. This day, oh God, as you end Jacob in Jacob, as you terminated Jacob in Jacob, and he lived leaning upon that staff, until he finished his life and finished his ministry. Until he came to the end of his journey. Lord, we are here this morning. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. Whatever it will be, O God. Whatever must finish, let it finish this afternoon. O God. O God, this afternoon we are asking. A deep work of grace must take place. What a man cannot do for us. For 20 something years that man struggled. And he was going home almost with nothing. Until you came to him. Come to us, Lord. Come to us this afternoon. Do what a man cannot do in our hearts. We bow before you, God. As husbands, as wives, as ministers, we cry to you this morning, O God. Ah! What is that that stood as obstacle before us? Because you have not broken through us. Break us, Lord. Break us this afternoon, O God, this morning. I'm asking that this matter will begin from now. And you carry us on, Lord. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. All the secret things. Jacob kept the secret for years. His wives never knew. His children didn't know. They didn't know. They didn't know what he had kept for years. But at Peniel, he was emptied and he became a new man. And the sun rose upon him. May your sun rise upon us. May you do a new thing with our lives from this afternoon. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Please lift those two hands to God as we cry to Him. In the cross, in the cross, be, O God, from this morning. O God, be, till I see you in glory. Till I see you in glory, Lord. Your glory in the cross, our Lord Jesus. Even things that were hidden to men, we lay it down. We lay it down before you this morning, O God. Have mercy upon us. Santa Yamakum to Roboskima Ramashinda Ramasanda Ramashinda Rama. Father, Jacob came to the end of his efforts and struggles. Everything he knew how to do, he has tried. He was ready to part with all resources, but it will not solve the problem. Until you came that day. But once you came, it was a permanent life change. It was evident. Nobody can forget it. Himself could never forget it because it was complete. It was total. Lord, we are asking this morning, that which will be real, that which will be permanent, that which will be for the rest of our years, do it in the name of Jesus. Empty us so that you can fill us with yourself. Empty these jars. We have been filled with rubbish. We have been filled with ourselves. We have been filled with our own inventions. Empty us of it in the name of Jesus Christ. And let the Son of righteousness,
let it rise upon us. Let the sun of your glory rise upon this life. Let the spotlight of heaven begin to shine. Let it set us apart among men. Though many are in darkness, let the light of your glory rise upon us. He said, Gentiles, kings, they will come to the light of your rising. Father, this afternoon or this morning, do something that will be clear, indelible, in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever restitution that Jacob did, people that didn't know how he had been struggling with himself, whatever you need to take away, all that must be buried under this oak, let it be buried in the name of Jesus Christ. Let today, O God, 10th of May, let it stand as a day of a fresh covenant, that this crucified life breaking forth from here, it shall never quench again. It will grow from strength to strength, from glory to glory, as we bear from here even the death of Jesus, so that his glorious life might be revealed in our body. That as we go about, men will see Jesus. When we open our mouth, it is Jesus they will hear. When we push out a message, it will be his life that is going out. Those who have not been broken for years, because you are broken us now, we will see brokenness in our meetings, in our congregations, in the name of Jesus. Lord, unto you is able to do beyond what a man could imagine or think. Do we bow? We bow our knees this morning and we ask, oh God, for many years we have been doing everything. And look, some of us were nearing retirement. Some of us were no more as young as we used to be. And we wonder when we will enter our rest. This morning, Father, in your determinate counsel, cause this life to bring us into that inheritance. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let the next days and months and weeks and years of our life, let it become a capstone upon all. And men will say, we didn't know you would end like this. See, he has ended strong. He was almost a dropout in the ministry. But see what has happened to him. Lord, make us a testimony in our generation in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for hearing us. All that must be buried under this oak shall be buried. We are not going home with any of it. Even the Rachels that have been the idol that never allow us to seek your face under this oak, let them be buried in the name of Jesus. Have your way, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed.